I am very, very pleased to be here this morning, and I mean that sincerely. I work in an office not more than about 100 yards from here, just down by the Red Rocks, and one of the things that are often on my heart is to avoid just becoming enmeshed in paper and systems and procedures, but to be able to get out and to look men and women in the eyes and interact with them a little and be refreshed by being part of a conference like this. So I'm grateful to be here. Chuck asked me to give a picture of what the navigators are doing around the world, and that is a daunting challenge. I'm not sure that I am capable of doing that, even if I had a couple of days. But to do so in the allotted 15 minutes is more than a challenge. It's a mystery. So we'll just have to see what happens. This ministry that the Lord has given to us, all of us, is a ministry that is founded on the promises of God. Now, we know that intellectually, but it behoves us at a time like this just to recall that to our minds and to impress upon ourselves the fact that, as Paul said in Romans chapter 9, this ministry does not depend upon man's will or man's exertion, but upon God's mercy. And that has always been the case in our mission agency, and I believe in most evangelical mission agencies. And I want to read to you one of those promises that the Lord gave through the mouth of Isaiah that is very, very meaningful to the leaders of the navigators at this time. And is found in the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, verses 4 to 7. It's a familiar passage to a number of you. Isaiah 43, 4 through 7. And God says, "Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not hold back." And this is the key. "Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Two things. The emphasis that this is of God. He calls us. He creates us. He forms and makes and fashions and gifts us. It is only of God. And then secondly, there is a sense here in which God definitely has the whole world on his heart. "Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth." And this is why the vision and the aim of the navigators has in it the concept of every nation. We do not have this out of some grandiose idea that we can do the job by ourselves. That would be such foolishness. But we have it out of the fact that it's on God's heart. And I want to move through for a few minutes with the aid of these two handouts and just talk to you a little about what our aim is and where we are in the pursuit of that aim. Now, you should have two sheets of cream-colored paper. Who does not have or is not able to look over someone's shoulder to see that? Okay, there's a couple at the back. If a married couple were willing perhaps to pass one back and just share, thank you so much. We're going to deal first with the one headed The Navigator's Primary Aim. And as many of you know, this is an aim about which we are clear and in some sense dogmatic, because a mission agency such as The Navigator's has to bear in mind always that we're very small and we're very specialized. We don't exist to do the job of the local church. We don't exist to do the job of Campus Crusade or anyone else. We have a particular calling, and we believe it is from God, and this is our calling, to multiply spiritual laborers in every nation, thus helping to fulfill the Great Commission. Notice the word helping. Again, to emphasize, we're a very small boat in a very large convoy, the convoy, if you like, of the body of Christ, and we have this particular distinctive that we are seeking to pursue. And we do this in three ways, as you can see on the slide. Through evangelizing, and if the Holy Spirit is active and working, and it is his will, this will lead to new fruit, new birth, converts, and joy in heaven by establishing, or if you like, discipling, so that disciples come into being, and by equipping. Now, equipping is a New Testament word. It's found, for example, in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul talks about equipping the saints for the work of service. And so this idea of equipping, leading to spiritual laborers. Now, what do we mean, therefore, by a laborer? I want to show you a very short and simple definition, and then I want to rely upon the fact that Lorne Sanney will be talking to us later this morning on the concept and the subject of laborers and laboring. And so I'll just content myself with a simple formal definition. This is a navigator definition, a navigator laborer. You know, the word laborer is used about 15 times in the New Testament. Remember in Matthew chapter 9, Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." That was the problem in his time. It is still the problem. And we are seeking to raise up people who, quote, are actively involved in the process of evangelizing the lost and or establishing the saved. Involved in the process. We're not saying you must have a convert today or this week or this year. It's a matter more of process that we emphasize, and God will give fruit. So that is the aim of the navigators. If you would turn, please, now to the back of that page, you will find a page headed Strategic Global Imperatives. Now, in 1980, about 150, about the same number as we have here this morning, of our leaders from around the world met in this room for 3 weeks. And they came from 21 nationalities and from about 40 countries. And we asked God to give us some things that it would be indispensable or imperative for us to do during the 1980s. Not objectives, not numerical targets, but imperatives. And you see these eight here on this page. And these are the things that we believe that we must do and will do, even if we do nothing else as a mission agency. And as you read down through them, you'll be able to highlight yourself the words that are the key words. For example, in number one, prayer and the Word of God. We know the navigator wheel, but the intake and the interaction with God is foundational and fundamental because the ministry is built on His promises and because the fruit is from Him. Go down to number five. The key word there is missionaries. There are several things we want to do and must do as regards missionaries, but basically we want more of them and we want better missionaries. You know, it's a tragic thing that in the American evangelical world as a whole, the average time at which a long-term missionary comes home is only about after the first term. He only stays out there for 4 to 5 years. And this has been, in some degree, our experience, too. And there are good reasons why missionaries come home often. But in some cases, our selection has been inadequate, or the orientation, or whatever, has not been as good as it should. And we're taking steps. We've just developed a U.S. missions department to help us in this area. So these imperatives, I'll just pick one more. Number seven, we must seek to effectively and harmoniously relate ourselves and the fruit of the ministries to the body of Christ. We're part of the body. We navigators relate, seek to relate to local churches and help our contacts to do so, and it's very important and becoming increasingly important that we should do so. It's very biblical. So these are our strategic imperatives. We do not, as I told you, we do not have global objectives, because what is going to hold us together as a society, if you like, operating in all these countries, what is going to hold us together is not the fact that we all sign the dotted line for the same objective, but it is the fact that we have the same vision, the same aim, the same Bible in which that vision and aim are rooted, and the same values, the same things that we hold dear and wish to promulgate. These are the things that are going to last, and the relationships between us as individuals. Okay, so an aim and some imperatives, and our individual countries take these imperatives and turn them into their own context, their own culture, their own stage of ministry, and use and draw from them in making them more focused and more specific in an individual situation. Turn now, if you will, please, to the second page. Here I have provided some statistics. I know that a number of you are come from a business background or are otherwise interested in, well, that's all very well, but what is actually happening? So just a few numbers here for you. If our aim is to multiply laborers, this is the sheet called Progress Towards Primary Aim, if our aim is to multiply laborers in every nation, we are the navigators. Okay, let's imagine we are the navigators. Now, we do not count all the people who support us financially or all the people who come to our conferences around the world, because for several reasons. I just mentioned one. Once you begin to count things like that, you begin insidiously to seek to control it. How clever we are. We have all these people who give to us, all these people who come to our conferences. How magnificent. We strenuously avoid that sort of counting. But because we have a stewardship responsibility to our donors, we do count our staff, and we do happen to know how many we've got because we write to them from time to time, etc. So you see here, we've treated the navigators as staff, and we have about 2,400 navigator staff, including nearly 1,000 wives. Any self-respecting mission agency includes all wives as staff. That's appropriate. And 31 nationalities, and I've listed there the nationalities of our staff. And just let your mind run on that a little. Think of the leadership challenge that it is to bring together a bunch of Koreans, Mexicans, Lebanese, and Singaporeans and get some interaction. You can only do it on the basis of biblical principles. You cannot do it out of an American Management Association textbook, or a British textbook for that matter. You have to keep going back to the Bible. And we've been forced to our knees often just to keep on moving ahead. It's essential to root it in the Bible. In point two there, you see that about 17% of our staff are foreign missionaries. That's Americans serving outside America, Englishmen serving outside England, and so forth. We're a little chagrined by that number. It used to be around 20% a few years ago, and we are seeking now to get it back to 20%. About a fifth of our total staff, including support staff, we would like to see overseas, and about a third of our frontline permanent field staff. And our frontline permanent field staff are the jargon that you see there in number three, where it says 770 are representatives and contact staff. That is jargon. I apologize. All that means is long-term, full-time field leaders, people like Chuck Strittmatter and Ed Rice and the others in this room who are leading this conference. Okay, so these are the navigators. Our aim is to multiply laborers. We believe that we raised up approximately 3,000 new laborers, according to this definition, or God raised them up through our ministry. Last year, and just over 1,000 of these were disciple makers. That is, and then you see the quotation there, they led at least one person to Christ last year and were the major influence in helping one disciple. So there you are. Then in every nation, there are all sorts of ways of measuring nations. You're aware of some of the ways that missiologists are doing that now, but we tend to work in terms of countries. And you see there in point two the fact that we're in at least 51 countries of which we are able to list these. There are other countries that we're in where the political system abhors Christianity or blocks it, or the religious system is hostile to Christianity, and so we do not publicize our ministry in those countries. But we're in a number of them. If you count up these and subtract them from 51, you can see that we are in a significant number of closed countries. And then, point three down the bottom, 17 of our countries have sent at least one staff missionary. And we look for that. We do not want to be just a Western multinational with some overseas subsidiaries. We believe that the biblical way to operate is for every country to reach a stage of ministry where it is able to send out, in response to the same Great Commission, its own men and women. There's 17 countries now who are beginning, in a small way, to send their own missionaries. Okay, that's just a little overview of the navigators multiplying laborers in every nation. Just turn to the back, the last page. The most important thing perhaps that I can do here in these 15 minutes, which are about to close, is the matter of leaving some prayer requests with you. And here are some prayer requests which I picked out for us this morning, and they contain a little information as well as prayer just to help you along the way. For example, in the first one, I tell you that about 60 Americans and 14 non-Americans were sent out as staff missionaries for the first time last year. And I also tell you that we are forming a new U.S. missions department, as I mentioned. So you can pray in that context. You have a feel now for the missionary impetus or thrust of the NAVS. And parenthetically, if anyone ever tells you that the day of foreign missionaries is past, object, resist. That is not true. We have never succeeded in the last 10 years in supplying more than about 40% of the requests from our own people for new Navigator Staff missionaries. And if we got serious at the center here and began to look for new countries to enter, that 40% would fall to 20%. There is an insatiable demand for laborers and equippers to go overseas. Americans, the day of the American missionary is not past. Many opportunities. I've given you these other prayer requests here. Let me just draw your attention to number 2, which tells you about the new countries that we're opening this year. And we have a strategic bias, incidentally, at the moment to three parts of the world, which we believe are especially important for us in the 1980s. We want to send more missionaries to Black Africa, to Latin America, and to Southeast Asia. In fact, our strategy is to send at least half of all our new missionaries to these three parts of the world, for various good reasons, I believe. And so that is what we are doing. And then finally in point 4, of course the USA is still far and away our major ministry. Half of the new laborers that God raises up are in the USA. About 2/3 of the staff are American. About 3/4 of the money is American. But you see, these other countries are also what we call established. You see in point 4 here, Australia, Netherlands, Malaysia, and so forth. And I thought you just, it's very important to us that these countries take hold and take ownership of the ministry and the calling and the vision. So that even if the unlikely and sad thing happened that we had to withdraw all our visits, all our missionaries and so forth, they would still continue. And these countries, as you see, are biblically rooted, culturally relevant, the ministry there, and continuously effective. If you pull all the foreigners out, they would still multiply laborers and seek to do so in moving towards every nation. The aim of the navigators, to multiply laborers in every nation. Okay? Thank you very much. That's it.